Lots of ideas have been put forward to tackle climate change and CO2 emissions, and many of them do go some way towards solving the problem, but it's not enough. We need to be motivated to do more. Ian Swingland is founder of the Darwell Institute of Conservation and Ecology and editor of a new book, Capturing Carbon and Conserving Biodiversity, The Market Approach. He believes that the answer to climate change lies in engaging the free market economy.
Governments don't have the capacity and don't have the money to do much of what they are responsible for. They don't have enough money to look after the environment. They don't have enough workforce to do it. And to a very large extent, increasingly, all over the world, what used to be publicly funded facilities are being turned over to the private sector. Why? Private sector's got more money, and if you invest in a business, you're inclined to take a lot more care over it, because frankly, if you fail and go bankrupt, you haven't got a job. So now we come to the free market. It is quite clear that the free market is a significant mechanism to try and achieve the management of the environment in such a way that you allow market forces to effectively decide what happens, rather than having some committee that makes decisions, you know, based on their own experience, training, or even prejudice. Let the market decide. Now, there are people who say, hang on, we mustn't let the market decide. We must decide for ourselves what we want. Well, to a large extent, they are the market. So their collective decisions with their checkbooks will effectively create the same effect as if you sit down and try and have a committee meeting about it. Yes, of course, there are free market things that happen which aren't helpful. So the free market is a mechanism which is self-adjusting, which is effectively a way in which those that consume can, if you like, vote, and they vote with their checkbooks. And that's how things are driven in the future.
If we're talking about some of our natural resources, though, like air and water, and then we talk about having those within a free market, that implies that they need to have some kind of price on them. And yet at the moment, of course, they have a zero price.
Yes.
So how do you balance that?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question. I once brought a president of a country and the entire cabinet to a standstill in a room by saying, it's about time we priced water. They didn't know what to say, because water will be the single most important cause of conflict and aggression and possibly war in the future than anything else before. We're going to run out of water. We've got too many people and increasingly more people, and there just isn't enough water, and it's not properly conserved. So we need to price it. It's going to cost. Air, well, that's probably a few years away yet. That could be very tricky, but at least we're trying to deal with the quality of the air at the moment in relation to carbon dioxide. But I'm afraid that all those things that people rely on to live, even to exist, are going to start having to have a price. And if you say to me, what is the price? It'll be the price the market can bear. Then you will say to me, well, hang on, that could be quite expensive. And the answer is, yes. And then you say to me, well, what about the poor people? What about the people who haven't got very much money? Yes, now that is a problem. We're going to have a situation where things like water and other things, which are really rather important, are going to have to be priced. And then the question is, well, how do you deal with the majority of people who might not be able to meet the price the market sets for it? Not by someone deciding. Just simply, the rarer water becomes, the more scarce it becomes, the price will go up, just like diamonds. We're facing an issue here, but it will have to be priced in some way or another.
Are we really talking, though, about individuals having to buy their own water, or is the price of water more based around the quality that's important? In the same way is that we have a sort of a price on air quality, would that actual price now for water, for example, reflect its quality rather than actually its consumption?
The price of water will always depend on its rate of supply. And yes, the second thing that will help to also affect the price will be the quality of it. When I was first born in this country, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, the idea of actually buying water in a bottle was unheard of. You got it out of the tap. The idea of buying some mineral water, gassy or not gassy, was just bizarre. And even today, I think it's a bit odd. But you see, people can afford that. But then a lot of people can't afford that. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I do know it's going to be a massive, massive problem.
That's Ian Swingland, editor of Capturing Carbon and Conserving Biodiversity, The Market Approach.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.